You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line and text line. So does last night completely close the door for you already on when Justin Verlander returns that Ronald Blanco is the guy who stays in the rotation, or are you open to the idea that there was enough sample size from JP France last year that there should still be a conversation?
Well, it's one start, and it's not like France pitched poorly.
Yeah.
So it ain't over, but it's wide open now. If Ronald Blanco can give you a no-hitter against the Toronto Blue Jays, who have some very good bats in that lineup, and he's doing it with a pitch that is super dominant, one that has clearly improved over the course of the last calendar year, stands to reason that there is still, perhaps, in Blanco, a 30-year-old player potential for improvement, which is crazy to think aloud. It is. It's a little bit of ageism that's involved with it. But at the same time, he just threw a no-hitter, and he was using one pitch, and the Blue Jays never had an answer.
It's also, when you compare it to J.P. France, it's not that much older than J.P.
France.
Yeah,
J.P. France is 28.
So they're two rookies that both debuted when they're like 28, 29.
Yeah.
So it does make it an interesting one. I do think it is something where I'll need more than a no-hitter from Ronald Blanco. I need some sustained success here. Let's prove it on the field over, what do we imagine, two starts
I think
before
they,
Justin Verlander
I,
comes
they
back?
They get one
the
more start.
You're going that quick?
Well, how many starts?
No, before JD comes back.
How many starts do you think Verlander will make in Sugarland?
One.
Okay.
I mean, he said he wanted to ramp up to 80 pitches. Nah, he went from 20 to 53.
I think it'll be 2 to 3.
Really?
I think it'll be two.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to rush Verlander back.
They,
especially at his age. They're not going to rush him back. They're going to take their sweet time with this.
Yeah, and especially when the five guys you have are pretty good. I think they have the top...
third best ERA in baseball.
Yeah, third best ERA. Starter ERA in baseball. Obviously, the starter ERA in baseball. Not the bullpen.
Nope.
But not only does Verlander come back, it adds the possibility that maybe in a way to save Verlander's arm a little bit, you go with a six man with both, and so you just are adding to the rotation, or you help your middle relief a little bit by the loser of the Blanco JP France impromptu competition we're having.
That's the answer.
That guy becomes he could be the fifth and sixth inning guy.
Oh yeah, Taylor Scott Pye.
That's the answer.
See ya.
That's the answer. I mean, this is ultimately going to help him out. You got to feel pretty good about it. We've seen Blanco put together a pretty good stretch before as far as decent starts in a row. If you go back to basically June of last year, four of his five starts were pretty good. The one that was shaky was his start against the Cincinnati Reds, where he allowed five earned runs, but he had a stretch, six starts, five of them were good, five of them were decent. Good is maybe extreme. Five of them were better than what
they're
you expected.
Like, they're solid.
Yeah,
right.
He got a good fifth starter start.
He pitched five-plus innings in all of those outings, including the one where he gave up five earned runs against the Cincinnati Reds. If this is something he's capable of, I don't think France is capable of this kind of an outing. I just don't. Like, going towards a complete game, no. Looking that dominant, no. And there's nothing against France. Some guys have it, others don't.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Major League Baseball pitcher. Like, he is one of the most
talented
people.
He's Major League capable, but right. Is he special at the Major League level? Can he ever do that? Of course, everyone can have their moments or their games, but regularly doing that. Who are you expecting to do that more? The guy that we have more of a limited sample size with, which is Blanco, mm-hmm. in this starting role, or is it France, who we saw for a while look really good, but then as time wore on, he started to fall back to earth? I feel like the guy with the smaller sample size is the person that's easier to bet on in a yeah. situation like this.
Now, is it more valuable for the Houston Astros if Ronald Blanco's stuff is that much better? Is it more valuable to keep him as your fifth starter or to put him in your bullpen? Because your bullpen is your weakness, really, of this team right now. And if you can make Blanco a guy who is, you know, getting back to being available every 2 or 3 days and, instead of only available every 5 days, with the state of your bullpen right now, he might be more valuable moving him to the bullpen. So he could win the competition in theory, mm-hmm. but they could just make the better baseball decision in their mind to put him in the bullpen. I would keep him in the rotation, but if Taylor Scott and these guys struggle, there could be an argument to where Blanco is just, it's more beneficial to your team to have him in the bullpen than as your fifth guy.
There is a like psychological element too, and just like a physical element of how quickly can you warm up that a lot of starters struggle with or have to deal with in the postseason when starters become available as bullpen arms. Some guys, they have a long warm-up process because when you're the starting pitcher for a day, you have a lot, you have all day to start working on it, whereas it, becoming a reliever, it's a little bit more quick of a, hey, you're up. Like, hey, get up, get warm. We're going to need you. So I think part of it will come to which one of these guys is more comfortable being mm-hmm. a reliever.
That could be
part of it. Or how good is the fifth starter? If the fifth starter is struggling, and maybe it does make more sense for Ronald Blanco, for the better pitcher, to be the fifth starter, just to limit the mm-hmm. amount of innings that the struggling guy is pitching.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing about last night's game we didn't talk about either much, was 20 pitchers through the first inning, and you know that Abreu and Hader are not available.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, that felt not good in the moment, because you're just like, how are they going to get enough innings out of this guy? But then he was so efficient.
Yeah.
Even striking out a ton of guys to throw 85 pitches in 8 innings versus the 20 you threw in the first inning was another thing that was super impressive. You mentioned Blanco's story a little bit. So he's working at a car wash. He's 22 years old. He's
working at the car wash.
Nobody's talking to him. And all of a sudden, he starts throwing gas.
You're too old to pitch in the majors. You have passed the age of 14. We're not going to take advantage of you.
Well, they don't want you.
Right. That was depressing.
They still took advantage of him.
Yeah, he got $5,000?
He got paid $5,000.
That's crazy.
Was that in... How far does that go in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, do you want to ask that question?
I know that's
going to
sound xenophobic. Well, I don't know. Maybe you've been there before. I don't know. Okay, you've never been? Sean,
I'll run the calculation.
Yeah. Okay.
The exchange rate.
Because also we're talking about, what, 2016? 2016. Yes, mm-hmm. that's when it happened. But yeah,
I don't think I'll be able to be that exact, but I'll do a rough calculation.
They discovered him because they were scouting Julio Rodriguez. He was at the same place. He had the same trainer. And yeah, they bring him in, and it's very cool to see over the course of the last week, he goes from having his second kid, starting in an exhibition game, striking out 10 Sugarland Space Cowboys along the way, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, it's the minor league team, whatever. But then to follow that up with a, let alone no-hitter, just 7 strikeouts,
mm-hmm.
6 innings of no-hit ball, 7 innings of no-hit ball, 8 innings of no-hit ball, I mean... What he did yesterday was Hollywood story stuff.
Is it a better story than John Singleton?
Well, I feel like the John Singleton one would be an hour-long subplot if we're making a movie
uh-huh.
where he's dealing with weed.
Yeah.
And it's not as much of an obstacle to overcome, especially considering he got paid before he even played in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got paid a significant amount. This one of the, it would be a dark, dark movie for John Singleton. And then he finds his way back to the majors. It's like, at the end, you can still succeed in life, even if life gives you a couple of punches along the way.
It's like more of a person. It's a more of a movie about you know, recovery,
yes,
and getting back on your feet than it is a baseball movie, because the baseball movie would have to end with a 2-home run game in August.
Meanwhile,
is where the movie would end.
Yeah,
this movie can end with a no hitter.
Yeah, and there's. I'm much more confident that there would be more to this movie than there is the John Singleton movie.
Well, the way you do it. Have you seen For the Love of the Game?
Yes.
Okay, the baseball part of that movie is the best baseball movie ever. The love scene stuff sucks. But the baseball part, no.
No, I just think for a movie called For the Love of the Game, the game is good, the love is bad.
It goes back and forth between, spoiler alert, a guy pitching a perfect game and his very up and down love life with just a random girl.
Mm-hmm.
And if you made this movie about the no hitter and then you go back and forth, like he's at the car wash and the guy gives him the opportunity, to me, that's a movie that can be made. I don't know who you cast to play who, but I mean, you got the mom who's clearly, you know, he's trying to help the mom live. Like he's paying while working part time at the car wash. He's hoping for this dream to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's perfect flashback and present scenes throughout the movie. Where with Singleton, you're gonna have to embellish what he was recovering from.
Like, yeah.
Nothing against weed and people addicted to weed, which I'm sure there are some, but no, you're gonna need to turn this into like meth or cocaine or something like that to make you just a little bit more lively.
Yeah.
If we're making a movie out of this, of course.
We just got a spam text on the HRMP text line, mm-hmm, about health insurance.
Yeah.
And it specifically asked for Joel. Do we think Joel Blank gave away the text line number to an insurance company instead of his personal number? Is that what we just stumbled upon here?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think you should answer this question. We're going to leave this for you. They can't hurt you anymore.
Fun fact, once upon a time, a radio host at this station did that to 790, and 790 got hundreds of spam calls for about 3 months because they put down the 790 call-in number and said they need health insurance. It was a very good prank.
Damn, let's have a conversation during the break.
Are we gonna do it again?
Maybe no. We would never do that.
Say
no.
It on air that we're gonna do it.
But our intern whipping boy, we could have him do it.
No, you can't say that.
Jason is not a whipping boy.
Yeah, Jason's not.
Well, he doesn't.
Jason is exempt from this.
If he doesn't have a name, he can't be a whipping boy.
Yeah, we can't use Jason.
Unfortunately, he has a name.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Or fortunately for him.
Yeah, whoa.
All right, we got Rockets conspiracy theories. And look, there's been 6 no-hitters since 2019. We're going to take away the World Series one, so it's not an option. Of the other 5, which one's your favorite? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It's conspiracy theory time for the Houston Rockets. I'm not really sure who's coming up with these theories because they're just from Reddit. But there is a theory that there is a concentrated effort by mainstream sports media to destroy the Şengün and Green core.
I gotta say, the person who put this manifesto together on Rockets Reddit,
so long.
I hope he's well. Look it up for yourself. It's very long. Did I read the whole thing? I stopped after about 2 paragraphs. I'm enjoying that Rockets fans are putting some tinfoil hats on. Have fun! The team's relevant again. Do you? But the idea that bigger powers are trying to break up Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, Like, their Romeo and Juliet is crazy. That's all you can really say. It's crazy. It might work. It might not work. We haven't seen it working that long together. When the two of them have been on their A game, it's been, what, three games? Four games before Şengün got hurt?
Mm-hmm.
So, things to keep in mind, but no one's trying to break them up. People are just wondering how the hell the Rockets have put together a stretch like this when Şengün, who supposedly was the best player on the team a month ago when Jalen Green was not good, they're wondering how the hell this is going to keep up.
Yeah, and then it continues because Ime Udoka's sister did an interview recently.
Yeah, with Chris Gardner, my guy.
And she didn't mention Alper and Şengün.
Oof.
So
that's true.
She's getting the Dell treatment right now.
Yeah, the Turks. They've found somebody else to focus on.
I think that's also the Turks. I would say is the first Reddit post.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think the first person is an American. I think that the looking at what Ime Udoka's sister says and thinking that means that this is what the Rockets are planning in the future, that. Especially when the account is called Alperen Şengün Forever on Twitter. Just a thought.
Good handle.
I think it's from Turkey.
I will say that, yes, I do disagree with the very pretty well-written conspiracy
theory.
Don't
give him that. It's so long. Don't give him that.
I mean, one of the paragraphs starts with, they, in parentheses, NBA ruling class, are sacred. They realize the Rockets are creating a monster core and they want it broken apart.
Yes.
That's so funny.
This person needs help.
Yeah, no. But
needs help.
The
straight jacket?
Powers that be and the national media are not the ones trying to break apart the Rockets. It seemingly the call is coming from kind of inside the house. It seems like if anyone is pointing fingers around, it's Rocket fans on Rocket fans being like, see, this is why Jalen Green's good now, because they got Alperen Şengün out of the way. And then other people being like, no, it's Alperen Şengün was the whole reason that it's just a lot of it's I think everyone's pointing guns at everyone.
Right.
Because, again, for the first time in a long time, the Rockets seem to be having for the first time in decades, the Rockets have a young core. Mm-hmm. That's actually a first. A legitimate star young core is the first time in a while. And yeah, I think a lot of people don't know how to handle it.
Ironically, only one of these two factions has been xenophobic.
Mm.
And it has not been the American faction.
We don't know that for sure.
Have you seen some of the things that the folks in Turkey have been writing?
No.
But
okay. I have also not seen what the American faction has been writing.
I have seen, I'm just going to say this, I have seen less comparisons to animals from the American faction, in that I have seen zero comparisons to animals, where from the Turkish faction, the ones that are so outraged by literally someone using a proper adjective, they have been a little different.
If Alperen Şengün is traded from the Houston Rockets,
I love making you feel uncomfortable. It's so funny.
The reaction is going to be brutal. Online,
I think if either of these guys get traded,
it might restart the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like if Jalen gets traded too, people are going to be like, he never got a fair shot.
Yeah, all right, I mean, Rockets Twitter is going to be divided.
Like, it's going to be pretty gnarly.
I mean, look at the way they reacted to the Tim McMahon stuff.
There's people that were caping for Jalen Green when he stunk for 40 straight games. Like, that was happening. So the fact now that he's playing well, that those people have been emboldened. They've been strengthened, reinvigorated. I'm saying if either of these guys get shipped out, I'll say in the next, 12 months.
Yeah.
If they actually make it to, let's just say they turn into the next, Sabonis and Fox, and they're together for years, okay. I don't feel like when that eventually would break up, 10 years from now, I don't feel like that would be a Civil War event. But I think if they break up before, July of 2025, Civil War.
Especially if Donovan Mitchell is the return. Yes. That's the only way I would be upset. I am open to both these guys or one of these guys being traded. I mean, not both of them, but one of them being moved.
Either, yeah.
But if it's like Donovan Mitchell for Jalen Green, I would be very upset. Because Donovan Mitchell's just, he's not good enough.
Yeah, he's not taking over the top. It's like worth just the risk at that point.
I'd rather have Jalen.
Yeah, and just see if he can if he can take you over the top, as opposed to like a known commodity who's going to be good for three-ish, four-ish more years and then start tailing off and then probably want to get traded.
You think it's more likely right now, seven games left in the regular season, Alpi or Jalen, if it happens this offseason, gets traded? I say Alpi. I think with the Doka style.
Man, you can't find guys like him, though.
I know.
I hate to say this about Green, because Green's athleticism is insane, but I feel like you believe you can find another Jalen Green. I don't know you're going to find another guy that has the skills that Şengün has at that size.
They have Cam Whitmore.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, they could have the next Jalen Green on their roster already.
They could
already.
Have the next Jalen Green. They have Cam Whitmore. I think from the start of the season, I mean, you have to remember, this offseason, they tried to sign Brook Lopez to be the starting center of the team.
This
team has not always had the highest internal evaluation of Şengün for a while.
Wow, are you really going to say that about Joe George's favorite GM, Rafael Stone?
I think they're going to choose, if they trade one, they're going to choose to keep Jalen.
I don't think that they make a trade this offseason or before the next deadline, like before next February.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did, I would slightly expect Şengün more.
Yeah, Jabari and Steven Adams with Jalen Green and Amen Thompson and Dylan Brooks as your starting five seems to fit more of the ideology of what Ime Udoka wants Houston Rocket basketball to look like.
Well, hopefully someone in that starting five would be who you're trading Şengün for.
Oh, duh.
just one note. Hopefully.
So take Dylan Brooks out of that lineup.
Hopefully you're not starting all those guys.
No, you're going to trade it for Josh Christopher and bring him back.
You're trading for... Oh, that's what they do.
Bring back Jalen Green's friend. This is a Jalen Green operation.
Trade for Usman Garuba. We're putting the team back together like Fast Five.
Let's get KJ Martin.
Someone get Ty Washington.
KJ Martin.
Someone get Tyrese. Someone get Ludacris.
How about James Harden?
The love that KJ Martin and these guys
Isaiah
got
Hardenstein.
Is pathetic.
Isaiah Hardenstein's good.
He's really good. Also learned a lot about him recently.
What is it? Şengün for Hardenstein?
I did not know Isaiah Hardenstein
is black.
No idea. But he said he is black.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Zero clue. And the guys in the interview, I think it was Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
And they did not believe him at all.
Didn't seem like they did.
Yeah.
Things where you got to show a picture of like you with your dad.
Have you seen? Just look up Isaiah Hardenstein dad. His story tracks.
Yeah, but it's the last name that really throws you off too.
Well, because his mom's German, probably.
It was very funny when he was asked, like, are you light-skinned? He's like, no, I'm not light-skinned. I'm bright-skinned. I laughed when I heard that.
Yeah, that's a good line.
That was pretty
good.
That
was very funny.
Among random, like, players that were cast off here and ended up being good elsewhere, nothing's going to be worse than the Astros getting rid of J.D. Martinez when they sucked.
Because
Martinez ends up being very good.
Like, also, Josh Hader for...
he's back now.
She's back. It's a full circle.
Okay.
Full circle.
You're right. That one isn't bad.
But, yeah. Hardenstein's definitely up there. Thanks, Daryl.
Yeah, he is a little...
racist against Germans.
Yeah.
And, I'm not going to go that far.
I mean, you never know.
You never know.
Maybe Daryl didn't know.
Yeah. What if Daryl
didn't know?
If Daryl Morey came out and it was like, I would have never gotten rid of Isaiah Hardenstein
if I knew
what his dad looked like.
Daryl was one of those guys who always wants the cross-racial comparisons with scouting reports online. So perhaps of all Americans, truly the least racist American, Daryl Morey.
He was like, someone please compare this guy to a white guy.
Yeah, Daryl Morey just wants to treat everyone equally poor. Is the way.
You're on Team James Harden. Wow.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey is a liar. James Harden and Joe George.
Joe George is Team China against Hong
Kong.
No. I'm just the implication.
No.
Implication.
Daryl.
Protest too much.
All right. What's your favorite no hitter of the six since 2019? That's next. And garbage time. Before we do that, I want to tell you about my friends at O Athletic. You can check them out. 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com to get all the information about what you can see on a day-to-day basis there at O Athletic. Over 100 classes per week before you go to work, starting as early as 6 in the morning, after work as well, weightlifting, agility training, all the different kinds of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, and boxing classes that you can take. They have saunas. They have the endless pool for recovery as well, personal training. Everything you need you can get at O Athletic. Make sure you check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd. And when you sign up, tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So since 2019, the Astros have thrown six no-hitters. Since 2022, they've thrown four. The rest of Major League Baseball has thrown three. We'll take the World Series one out of the equation here, because I would imagine it's almost everyone's answer for your favorite no-hitter of all of these. But do you have a favorite child here? Because everyone does.
A favorite child?
A favorite no-hitter?
Yeah, it's the World Series one.
But what if I told you you can't pick the World Series
one? I'm still picking it.
But that's the whole...
Fine.
The whole point of the...
There were multiple ones against the New York Yankees.
Yes.
So that one is certainly fun.
I love the where the bleep is Toro moment after the Blue Jays game where they're tied, going into the ninth inning. Toro hits the home run and Justin Verlander gets his first no-hitter. And that was like a month after the other one, that the combo no-hitter that Aaron Sanchez and those guys had against the Mariners. So I personally, that's my favorite. Just because maybe it's the meme.
Yeah.
Where the bleep is Toro.
That one's the best vibes one.
Yeah.
Of the list. I think, and I hope I'm not, you know, talking out of turn here. I think the Aaron Sanchez, Will Harris, Joe Biagini, and Chris Davinsky one, that has to be last on everyone's list, right? The fact that there's not a single like iconic Astro or even like meaningful Astro of this golden era. I guess if you want to be nice, Chris Davinsky, maybe he was pretty good on the first title team, but that one has to be last. I think mine is the one at Yankee Stadium with
in 03?
No, with Javier Neris and Presa.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hey.
No disrespect to the 03.
Make sure you get all three in there. I thought you were worried you're going to get someone there for a second.
I'm literally looking at it right here.
The 03 one, I remember as a kid, because I didn't know it was possible. I saw this on SportsCenter. I didn't know it was possible to have a no-hitter with multiple pitchers in the same game. I didn't think that they would still count it as a no-hitter. But Roy Oswalt, Pete Monroe, Kirk Sarlous, Brad Lidge, Octavio Dotel, Billy Wagner. I mean, you've got three iconic names along the way there. And it happened also at Yankee Stadium.
I believe, was that also the first time the Yankees had been no-hit in their history?
That sounds right.
That would be something.
Or at least at Yankee Stadium is the...
Oh, yeah, right here on the Wikipedia. First no-hitter thrown at the original Yankee Stadium. First interleague no-hitter thrown by an away team.
I mean...
As well.
Okay. Whoa. Cool. Awesome. I guess they did have a DH to get out. They had an extra DH to get out, so that's...
The Astros also, just as an organization, have the most no-hitters in baseball since they became a thing. They have 16, so they lead Major League Baseball since 1963 or whatever.
I heard John and Lance talking about that this morning, and Lance said that Sandy Koufax is the reason that the Dodgers have as many as they do, because I think he had five, which is also crazy.
He had a ton. Yeah.
All right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
NC State is on to the Final Four. We talked a little bit earlier in today's radio show about DJ Burns, their 6'9", 275-pound star player, what he's done for NC State. But one NC State student did perhaps even more for his university. A drunk student sent an email to a professor asking for an exam to be postponed, writing this to his professor, Professor Matthew Bryant. I'm lit AFRN, and I hope you are too. BC, a Final Four appearance is a lot to celebrate. How about we move this test to Tuesday or Wednesday? Love, James Fernandez.
Love is a nice touch.
So shout out to James Fernandez, because yep. Matthew Bryant responded saying, James, this is possibly my favorite email of the year. You've convinced me. That is Dr. Matthew Bryant, PhD.
You gotta know your audience there if you're the student. I guess shoot or shoot, maybe, is the way to go, but this only works with a certain type of professor.
Yeah, you got like good vibes that like you know you think you've got a shot when
there's
you send
some professors
this
I had that I'll be like, there's no way they even respond to this.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that this is also a difficult class. So it's interesting that he responded to an email like that by canceling postponing the exam a little bit. Associate professor in University Faculty Scholar Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering. I'm assuming that this is a difficult course.
Whoa.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it being upper level helps because there's only like so many students. So it's like a smaller group.
That could be it.
But, I will say
but
this
that,
is...
that still is a high level course, it sounds like.
Yeah, this is...
Unless it's intro.
You got to do this stuff if you're a college professor. Just shut down campus for these games. Let your kids live. You know they're all going to be drunk. 80% of your students, right? I would guess. Maybe 60%.
Yeah. I'd say the second weekend.
Like, yeah.
The second weekend, probably that Monday after you guys make the Sweet 16 and the, like, either Thursday or actually just the Friday of that week where you either play on Friday or Thursday. I feel like that, you know, no class. Have fun out there, kids.
Yeah, just cancel class.
You only live once.
It's true. YOLO.
That's my message to all the kids out there.
And one way you stay alive is by fighting off people that are trying to hurt you, which is what a Harris County man did Saturday in the Prestonwood Forest neighborhood. Four thieves stole several pieces of equipment from the back of a yard worker's truck. The victimized yard worker threw a weed whacker at the suspect's vehicle as they drove off. One of the thieves, when this hit the car, fell out of the passenger side of the car. The worker picked up his weed whacker and chased the suspect around the yard before his accomplices came back to pick him up. Policemen eventually found him. I'm just impressed by this guy going yard work wick with an effing weed whacker, throwing it at a car. As far as household items that you would use to defend yourself, weed whacker would be a good one. That is definitely not one that would come to mind immediately.
Yeah,
he must have been
like
holding
that.
It, right?
Yeah.
He must have just been weed whacking his yard and then, or no. I guess it was on his way out then? I don't know.
I think he chased them out and he just threw the weed whacker
at them.
Like,
throwing is a crazy
move. It's a crazy move. And then he picked it up and he chased the guy around with it. This guy's a hero.
You ever got by a weed whacker?
What do you mean?
No.
Like you ever hit your leg?
So the weed whacker that I had when I was growing up in Florida, and the grass in Florida is like just super thick, that St. Augustine stuff. It's like this sponge and it grows so quickly. But the weed whacker that I had was not... It was a wire. Mm-hmm. I think some weed whackers are actually like metal. I had like the kids' version of this. So I have scuffed my ankles before, but nothing ever serious. I think there are like blade versions of this that like absolutely F you up.
I would never buy one of those just because I don't want to be... I don't have to like call, like send a chat in the group text and be like, hey, Sean, Paul, I'm not going to make it in today. I just like demolish my leg with a weed whacker. I'm already the butt of so many jokes at this place that like I'm gonna like live my life on how to not be there.
I feel like that would also take like chunks out of you.
Whereas
a wire one like cuts you.
Yeah, like it's a real excuse if you have to miss work, but I just like I don't want to give that opportunity to give that.
Hey guys, I lost a couple pounds this weekend. Cool. Oh, yeah. Athletic? No.
No, chopped my ankle
off. My leg.
All right, that does it for us. The Killer Bees with Joel, Jeremy, and Brian are up next. Will the Astros throw another no-hitter tonight?
Yes.
Will they have another blowout?
Yes.
So they can give their bullpen some relief?
Yes.
We'll find out. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Peace.
Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.